committee for February 9th will come to order, and we'll just dive right in. Looks like we've got a pretty good agenda here. Make a little announcement, I guess, to preface this. I was talking with our legislative fiscal staff, and I see that we're going to be doing a work session, moving some bills out of this committee today. Last session, it was May 10th, was the first time we moved bills out of full committee. So we're a little ahead of schedule. Senate President, if you're out there, we're a little ahead of schedule. All right, we'll start right in. First bill is House Bill 5007. These are all work sessions. Board of Chiropractic Examiners. Representative Jensen, please.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. House Bill 5010, the Board of Chiropractic Examiners, is the budget bill for the State Board of Chiropractic Examiners. The board regulates doctors of chiropractic and certified chiropractic assistants through examination, licensing, and disciplinary programs. The board is funded by revenue generated from licensing applications and examination fees. The Education Committee approved an other funds budget of $1,125,027 and five positions, 4.5 FTE. The approved budget maintains current service levels, provides a reserve for extraordinary contested case costs, and includes several technical adjustments. The subcommittee approved the agency's performance measures and added a new board best practices measure. The subcommittee urges the support of House Bill 5007 be passed out with due pass recommendation.
Any discussion? Any objection? Seeing none? Approved. Next bill, House Bill 5008, Board of Chiropractic Examiners, the fee bill. Representative Jensen again, please.
Thank you, Ms. Thank you, Mr. Chair. House Bill 5008, the Board of Chiropractic Examiners fee ratification. House Bill 5008 ratifies a fingerprinting fee approved by the 2005 legislature and established administratively by the Board of Chiropractic Examiners in 2006. The fee covers the cost of conducting criminal background checks on new applicants. The Education Subcommittee recommends House Bill 5008 be reported out, due pass.
Discussion. Objection. Seeing none, so ordered. House Bill 5009, Board of Clinical Social Workers. Senator Devlin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. House Bill 5009 is the budget bill for the Board of Clinical Social Workers. The board oversees a voluntary licensing program for individuals who want to use the title Licensed Clinical Social Worker. The agency is funded by revenue generated from application and license fees. The Education Subcommittee approved another funds budget of $661,223 and four positions, 3.0 FTE. The approved budget adds one half-time clerical position to accommodate increased application workload, provides a small increase to allow more board members to attend national training session, and includes several technical adjustments. The budget is funded by the continuation of fees, increases approved by the 2005 legislature, and implemented administratively by the board during the current biennium. The approved budget also includes increased revenue associated with planned 2007-2009 administrative changes to simplify the current fee structure. The subcommittee approved the agency's performance measures and added a new board best practices measure. The Education Subcommittee recommends House Bill 5009 be amended and reported out, due pass as amended.
Discussion. Objection. Seeing none, so ordered. House Bill 5010, Board of Clinical Social Workers, the fee bill. Senator Devlin.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. House Bill 5010 ratifies the increases approved by the 2005 legislature and implemented administratively by the Board of Clinical Social Workers in September 2005. The agency's 2007-2009 budget assumes continuation of these funds, which are expected to generate approximately $80,900. The Education Subcommittee recommends House Bill 5010 be amended and reported out, due pass as amended.
Discussion. Objection. Seeing none, so ordered. House Bill 5017, Board of Dentistry, Senator Devlin.
Mr. Chairman, Co-Chair, we are all health here. House Bill 5017 is the budget bill for the Oregon Board of Dentistry. The board regulates the practice of dentistry and dental hygiene through examination, licensing, and disciplinary programs. The agency is funded with revenue generated from application renewal and permit fees. The Education Subcommittee approved an other funds budget of $1,870,184 and 7 positions, 7.0 FTE. The approved budget is a 6% greater than the 2005 legislative approved level and does not include any program enhancements. The subcommittee approved the agency's performance measures and added a new board best practices measure. The Education Subcommittee recommends House Bill 5017 be reported out due pass.
Discussion. Objection. Seeing none, so ordered. House Bill 5039, Board of Psychologist Examiners. Senator Morse, please.
Mr. Co-Chair, House Bill 5039 is the budget bill for the State Board of Psychologist Examiners. The board regulates the practice of psychology through examination, licensing, and disciplinary programs. The agency is funded by revenue generated from licensing application and examination fees. The Education Subcommittee approved an other funds budget of $860,541 and 3 positions, 3 FTE. The approved budget enhances consumer protection by providing additional resources to perform criminal background checks on all applicants and licensees. The subcommittee approved the agency's performance measures and added a new board best practices measure. The Education Subcommittee recommends House Bill 5039 be amended and reported out due pass as amended.
Discussion. Objection. Seeing none, so ordered. Senate Bill 5519, Commissioner on Judicial Fitness and Disability. Senator Nelson, please.
Yes, thank you. Senate Bill 5519 is a budget for the Commission on Judicial Fitness and Disability. The Commission, which has jurisdiction over approximately 395 state judges, investigates and acts upon complaints of judicial misconduct or disability. The Commission's budget of $181,290 general fund provides for one permanent part-time position, 0.5 FTE. This budget is the level of funding requested by the Commission and included in the Judicial Branch recommended budget and Governor's printed budget. The subcommittee adopted one amendment that differentiates the Commission's administrative budget from its extraordinary budget, and that portion of the budget pertained to investigations and prosecution of judges. The subcommittee also approved revisions to the Commission's key performance measures. The Public Safety Committee recommends Senate Bill 5519 be amended and reported out due pass as amended.
Discussion. Objection. Seeing none, so ordered. I'd just like to congratulate those agencies that had their act together, both in performance measures and policy packages. Not only did they get their budget out the earliest ever in the history of the state of Oregon, but they avoided the 2% EBL reductions and numerous other things that other agencies that are not quite so well situated will be dealing with in their subcommittee. So congratulations to those getting their budgets out early. Other business. Department of Agriculture Representative Garrard, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The subcommittee recommends approving the submission of a federal grant application to the U.S. Department of Agriculture in the amount of $292,400 to develop a voluntary self-inspection program for nursery growers to minimize risks of exporting nursery stock being infected by sudden oak death. The grant would be used to develop guidelines, protocols, and training for a voluntary self-inspection program for use by Oregon nursery growers to minimize the risks of the plant pathogen sudden oak death. The inspection program would be audit-based, with ODA employees providing third-party audits to ensure nursery employees are conducting inspections in accordance with the developed inspection protocols. The grant request represents only half of the total cost of the program and will be used to cover program startup costs. The nursery industry would provide money to cover 25% of the program as match, with ODA and OSU extension personnel contributing the other 25% of the match through in-kind support. The department reports that if the program continues after the grant ends, it will have to be funded by the industry. Your Natural Resources Subcommittee recommends approval of this request.
Discussion. Objection. Seeing none, so ordered. Next item, Department of Education, another grant, Representative D. Edwards.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Your Education Subcommittee recommends approval of the Department of Education's request for the submission of a federal grant application to the U.S. Department of Agriculture in the amount of $1.3 million for the implementation of direct certification and verification provisions of the Child Nutrition Program and Women, Infants, and Children, or WIC, Reauthorization Act of 2004. The Child Nutrition Program and Women, Infants, and Children Reauthorization Act of 2004 requires states to provide direct certification of students' eligibility to receive free and reduced-price meal benefits. The process matches students enrolled in school with those participating in food stamps, so households do not have to complete an application to receive meal benefits. The agency will work with the Department of Human Services to integrate two of their databases with one that the agency oversees. This act will allow for a simplified application process, reduced paperwork, and improved access to program benefits. There are no matching requirements for state funds, and no additional staff will be needed for the implementation. The grant will cover one-time implementation costs, with future maintenance and oversight costs expected to be minimal and absorbed by the agency. Your Subcommittee on Education recommends approval.
Discussion.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Senator Westland.
I'd just like to say that was one of the most compassionate, compelling, convincing ponies ever read by a first-time pony reader. I am a no.
I can understand your concerns, actually. I also noticed that there was not a lot of discussion about the databases being consolidated. That's been a major issue, and the Department of Human Services is part of that, and I didn't hear any discussion about that. Would you care to discuss that now, Representative?
There was some discussion during our subcommittee meeting, and we determined that was indeed a key feature of this application.
Further discussion, my goodness. Yes, Senator Morris.
Well, thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Would the courier yield to a question?
Yes, I will.
Please.
It's a little unclear to me the language that says here the grant fits under the agency's key performance measure group for accountable systems and the goal of inspiring public confidence in the education system. I wonder if the carrier could explain what is meant by that statement.
I'm sure he'd love to.
May I defer the question to LFO staff?
That would be the very smart thing to do. Yes, sir. Three questions into it.
It'll work. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, as part of the performance measures, that is one of the groups. They basically divided their performance measures into three groups, and that is the one key performance measure area that they have decided that this one would fit under. Inspiring confidence is part of one of their three key areas for performance measures.
It's better than the carrier's done so far, so that's very good.
Is that responsive, Senator Morris?
Thank you. Thank you. That's very, very clear.
Further discussion? Seeing none, objections? Actually, we better do a roll call vote on this one, I think, just in case that looks like things are all tenuous.
Representative Morgan.
Aye.
Representative Hamm.
Aye.
Representative Jensen.
Aye.
Representative Guard.
Aye.
Representative Boulizian.
Aye.
Representative Shields.
Aye.
Representative Edwards.
Aye.
Vice Chair Nathanson.
Aye.
Co-Chair Nolan.
Aye.
Senator Westland.
Isn't he purple shirt?
Aye.
Purple is cool today.
Senator Gordon.
Aye.
Senator Johnson.
Aye.
Senator Goblin.
Aye.
Senator Marks.
Aye.
Senator Nelson.
Aye.
Senator Whitson.
Aye.
Vice Chair Carter.
Aye.
Co-Chair Schrader.
Aye.
Motion apparently passes.
Very good. He did an excellent job apparently answering those very difficult questions. So noted and approved. Next item, Department of State Lands. Senator Devlin, another grant.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. The Subcommittee on Natural Resources recommends approval of the Oregon Department of State Lands request to approve the submission of an application to the U.S. Department of Interior Fish and Wildlife Service for a cooperative endangered species conservation recovery land acquisition grant for $750,000 to protect and enhance population of Fender's blue butterfly on parts of a 1,400-acre parcel of land located near Basket Slough National Wildlife Refuge. The Trust for Public Land asked State Lands to act as the state recipient agency for the grant proposal to protect and enhance the Fender's blue butterfly population. Proposals were due February 7, 2007. The Trust for Public Land has been granted an exclusive option to purchase 1,400-acre parcel of land with an understanding that the property will continue to be managed for sustainable forest production while balancing habitat management, recreation, and education. The total purchase price for the 1,400-acre property is $8,225,000, which is the appraised fair market value. The balance of the purchase price will be contributed from other public conservation funds and private contributions. If the grant application is successful, the department will require an increase in federal funds expenditure limitation to distribute the funds. Your Subcommittee on Natural Resources recommends your approval.
Discussion? Yes, Representative Morgan. Representative Blasio, then Representative Johnson.
Mr. Co-Chair, may I ask questions of the carrier?
Please.
Yes,
lots of them.
Senator, in the discussion in the committee, was there any discussion around what the current use of the property is?
I believe it's currently being managed for forest practices or for forest use, and that it's the intention that that will continue, that only a relatively small area of the parcel is going to be protected for the endangered butterfly species.
May I have another question?
Please.
The management plan that the Trust for Public Lands has, are they planning to manage that land as industrial forest land within the standards of the Oregon Forest Practices Act, or is there another management plan that is being contemplated for it?
You never make an assumption, but as it was related to us, that was the broad intent. And this is not the Trust for Public Land, but the Nature Conservancy.
May I have a further question? The property is currently on the tax rolls. Will it continue to be on the tax rolls after it's acquired by the Trust for Public Land?
Yes, it will, because it's going to be managed for... Well, I guess for a profit basis, and if LFO wants to.
Another further follow-up?
Sure. Yes.
Does the Trust for Public Lands have the matching funds in hand at this point in time?
We would have to actually ask someone from the department to come forward, or maybe the LFO analyst could answer that.
Ms. Jordan.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee.
Could you pull the microphone closer? Yeah. Thank you.
It's my understanding that they don't have all of the matching funds available, that they have most of it, and they expect to receive the balance of it.
Representative Luzio.
Wanted to make a statement here and a road explanation. Half the land in the state of Oregon is already out of the privately owned land base, and every time we make a move to put some restrictions on private land, we're essentially limiting our ability to make decisions around the use of that land in the future. And I have, I think, based on the amount of land that already has a huge amount of restriction on it, as to the use that it can be put to, I have a philosophical disagreement with using public dollars to buy up private land and then put use restrictions on it that are beyond the ones that are already there. And so, Mr. Chair, I'll be voting no on this.
Very good. Representative Belizio was next in the queue, I believe.
Withdraw my question.
Representative Jensen, I believe.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I'm going to forego the questions in light of the fact that Representative Morgan has already asked my questions, but would indicate that I would probably be a no vote on this on the floor when it comes up. The need for further study of it for me to support it on the floor.
Thank you. Let's see, Senator Devlin and Representative Hanna.
Mr. Co-Chair, I just wanted to admit on one area that Representative Morgan was right and I was wrong. I was actually thinking of another grant at this time, and this actually is the Trust for Public Lands. The other grant is the Nature Conservancy. So when she referred to it, I just want to correct myself. When she referred to it as the Trust for Public Lands, it is the Trust for Public Lands in this case.
Very good, and I appreciate Representative Morgan catching Senator Devlin off guard. That's excellent. That's probably a noteworthy occasion in the history of the state legislature. Representative Hanna.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Question to the carrier. Did the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife provide any testimony about, it's noted here that it's, you know, managed for balancing habitat and so forth. Did they provide any testimony about the wildlife use or restrictions? Mr. Co-Chair, Representative Hanna, the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife was not present. This was presented by the Division of State Lands. That's the best I can answer it. There was a discussion that this would be, I believe, Representative Clem, who is on the subcommittee, had that discussion with DSL about it being open for recreational purposes and still being managed for natural resource purposes, and we were assured by DSL that that was the case.
Follow-up?
Excuse me. Ms. Jordan has something to add.
That was discussed in the committee, and the agency did present that information. It is also included in their letter that you, I believe is attached to your materials.
Follow-up. Yeah.
I haven't read the letter all the way, so that's a piece I will go back to. My point there is, as you know, Mr. Co-Chair, we've had these type of land pieces before, and I had a meeting with the Fish and Game folks because I said, you know, as we're trying to make these decisions and look at removing land from the public, from public use in different ways, I would hope in the future that they, Department of State Lands, would coordinate through Fish and Game testimony so that we're clear of those land uses and we understand, you know, as our sportsman caucuses contact us and so on, fully what we're doing when we're making these decisions.
Good comment. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman,
the discussion. Senator Devlin.
Sorry, I just wanted to get this on the record. Going to the letter that's in your packet that might clarify this more for people here. If I have permission to read just a couple sentences here, at least there's one sentence. The Zena Timber property owner has granted Trust for Public Lands an exclusive option to purchase the property with the understanding that the property will continue to be managed for sustainable forest production while balancing habitat management, recreation, and education.
Thank you very much. Senator Whitsitt.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. My concerns have been addressed in the previous conversations, but I will be a no vote.
Okay, thank you.
I'm a no when she can pronounce the Latin name.
Further discussion? Seeing none, any objections? I've got Morgan, Jensen, Hanna, and Whitsitt. Seeing no others? Approved. Thank you, subcommittee, or full committee, excuse me. You did a great job today. We got done in record time. I appreciate everyone's good attendance and excellent discussion. And we'll be letting you know when folks are going to meet again. Probably not for a little bit yet, but good job. We're adjourned.